chapter, text number 10. अग्न्यापृतार्थ करणान्निशिनिशयाना नाना मनोरथ धिया क्षण भग्न निद्राः दैवाहतार्थरचना ऋषयोऽपि देव युष्मत्प्रसंग विमुखा इह संसरन्ति अग्न्यापृतार्थकरणान्निशिनिशयाना नाना मनोरथ धिया क्षण भग्न निद्राः दैवाहतार्थवचना ऋषयोऽपि देव युष्मत्प्रसंग विमुखा इह संसरन्ति अग्न्यापृतार्थकरणान्निशिनिशयाना नाना मनोरथ धिया क्षण भग्न निद्राः दैवाहतार्थरचना ऋषयोऽपि देव युष्मत्प्रसंग विमुखा इह संसरन्ति Ahni,
during the daytime.
Aprita,
engaged.
Artha,
distressing engagement.
Karanaha,
senses.
Nishi,
at night.
Nishayanaha,
insomnia.
Nana,
various.
Manoratha,
mental speculations.
Dhiya,
by intelligence.
Kshana,
constantly.
Bhagna,
broken.
Nidraha,
sleep.
Daiva,
superhuman.
Ahata artha,
frustrated.
Rachanaha,
plans.
Rishayaha,
great sages.
Api,
also.
Deva,
O my Lord,
Yushmat,
your lordships.
Prasanga,
topic.
Vimukhaha,
turned against.
Iha,
in this material world.
Samsaranti,
do rotate. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, as a Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Such non-devotees engage their senses in very troublesome and extensive work, and they suffer insomnia at night because their intelligence constantly breaks their sleep with various mental speculations. They are frustrated in all their various plans by supernatural power. Even great sages, if they are against your transcendental topics, must rotate in this material world. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As described in the previous verse, people who have no taste for the devotional service of the Lord are occupied in material engagements. Most of them engage during the daytime in hard physical labor. Their senses are engaged very extensively in troublesome duties in the gigantic plants of heavy industrial enterprise. The owners of such factories are engaged in finding a market for their industrial products, and the laborers are engaged in extensive production involving huge mechanical arrangements. Factory is another name for hell. At night, hellishly engaged persons take advantage of wine and women to satisfy their tired senses. But they are not even able to have sound sleep because their various mental speculative plans constantly interrupt their sleep. Because they suffer from insomnia, sometimes they feel sleepy in the morning for lack of sufficient rest. By the arrangement of supernatural power, even the great scientists and thinkers of the world suffer frustration of their various plans and thus rot in the material world birth after birth. A great scientist may make discoveries in atomic energy for the quick destruction of the world and may be awarded the best prize in recognition of his service or disservice. But he also has to undergo the reactions of his work by rotating in the cycle of repeated births and deaths under the superhuman law of material nature. All these people who are against the principle of devotional service are destined to rotate in this material world without fail. And then there is a long purport. The second part of the shloka is explained in the next paragraph, which I will not touch today. Whoever is a speaker tomorrow, they will continue. Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is a very revolutionary acharya who thoroughly and honestly reveals the situation of the modern day society. Today's class was supposed to be given by Krishnanand Prabhu. Krishnanand Prabhu's health is not good. He has been traveling very extensively. He would have told you some nice pastimes from Chaitanya Charitamrita and describing the history of Baladeva Vidyabhushan and Ganga Mata Goswamini. So I'm very sorry to disappoint all of you. Here, the summary of this first para of the purport of Srila Prabhupada. And the translation is actually, although it looks like a very long verse, it is very, if you break the Sanskrit word, it's very easy to understand. You see, Agni means during the daytime. One is engaged in artha karana, distressing engagement for the senses. Distressing engagement. Artha means distressing. Karana, nishi, nishayana. Nishi means in the night. Diba nishi. Diba means daytime and nishi means night. Nishi, nishayana means insomnia. You see. And nana means varieties of mano, ratha, dhiya. When one climbs on the chariot of the mind, and then one runs here and there, due to such kind of mentally concocted plans and ideas for enjoying life, dhiya, intelligence, by intelligence, then kshana means at every moment, or constantly. Bhagna nidraha. One loses one sleep at every moment. And then he's saying, daivartha, daiva ahata artha. Again he's using the word frustrated. Rachanaha, plan their plans. So, in this verse, what is being described is the living beings' constant engagement in making material plan making business and giving shape to it. How it brings about great pain. And Prabhupada very graphically explains in the purport here. Like somebody asked Prabhupada, like sometimes you see a huge lorry having 16 tires or 24 tires. You have seen that? Very long. Carrying huge cylindrical objects. Such huge gigantic objects. Rakshasa type. Huge type. And the lorries are going sometimes. They are slowly going in Lonavala. I can see. Big lorries. So somebody saw such kind of huge objects and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, look at these fellows, how advanced they are. They seem to be very brave to do such huge things in big, big factories. Prabhupada said, yes, they are bravely going to hell. He said, they are very brave, but bravely where are they going? They are going to hell. So a similar point he is making here. So two people he is saying, one are the owners and one are the workers. And what the owners are doing? He is saying, they are finding a market for their industrial products. And what are the workers and laborers doing? They are engaged in extensive production involving huge mechanical arrangements. He says, factory is another name for hell. And then he is saying, when they come back in the night, how they spend their time in wine and women, trying to satisfy their tired senses. Actually, these things have to be seen from the viewpoint of Shastra. Then only one can understand. Prabhupada was a very honest and truthful preacher of Vedas. Unlike the modern day fashionable flamboyant preachers who don't tell the facts or the truth. You see, when it came to whether it be science or whether it be technology, Prabhupada was very honest and very frank. Like you see, when one of Dhanavir Swami Maharaj, he was a college student. So one day, he was thinking, what subject am I studying? Is it really useful? He was studying on meteorology. So meteorology means studying about the weather forecast, about whether it's going to rain or not and all that. So he thought, let me take something, some subject, more dry subject. This is too moist. And not only dry, something more tangible subject. Because if I pass out the subject, I don't know whether I'll get a good job. It shouldn't evaporate from the hands, the job. So then he took a subject on economics. But along with, because economics gives you something tangible. But along with economics, he took psychology also. So a psychology professor came to class and said, so today we are going to discuss about, he said, absolute, it's called as ethical absolutism versus ethical relativism, he said. So what is this complex jargon? I was wondering. So he asked for an example from the teacher. The teacher said, if, say for example, there are cannibals in Africa, you know, the ethical absolutism means, you know, there are moral laws applicable to all people in all the places all over the world. That is called ethical absolutism. Ethical relativism means it is applicable for some people in some place and it can be different for different people in different places. And then he said, for example, the African cannibals, you know, they eat the bodies of other people. So he said ethical relativism means, you know, in our country it's a law that we should not eat human beings. But in other places, if tribals are there, they can eat, no problem. So you were shocked to hear this, really? That means some human beings can eat other human beings also? So after the class was over, he met the teacher and asked her, sir, what do you believe? Whether one can eat a human being or not? He said, that doesn't matter to me so much. Personally, I don't hold any opinion. You can have your own morality. That's why I told you, it's ethical relativism. You can have your morality, I can have my morality. There is no standard morality. So Prabhupada later on used the word standard morality, you see. And there is no standard, he said. So Dhanavendra Swami understood that these people are not knowing what they are speaking. They are simply bluffing. They have no brain. They are not level-headed people. They really don't know what is the meaning of life. And then when he went to the Hare Krishna temple, he met this Swamiji Prabhupada. He saw these people have a very clear understanding of the truth and indefeatable principles, which from all points of view, from a human point of view, you can understand also, spiritual point of view. So I understood that these people, Hare Krishna, when he saw Swami Prabhupada, they not only knew the truth, they presented it boldly and they lived it. They didn't just pick it. Whereas this teacher was teaching it, but he was not living it. So he decided that better join this Hare Krishna spiritual master. So then he joined Prabhupada. So, also he says that when he went to the temple, you know, he saw the Hare Krishna's lifestyle, how they are living. And then he saw the people in the world, how they are living. And he made a mathematical comparison between the two. So he wrote an equation. First he said, if Krishna exists, and if law of karma exists, then those who do good and those who follow the path of Krishna will go back to spiritual world. Is it not true? And those who break the laws of Krishna will go to hell. So this is the theorem one he made. And then he said, if there is no, if Krishna doesn't exist, the laws of karma don't exist, then what will happen? Then what about the Hare Krishna's lifestyle? He saw. Then he said, then he thought, oh, these people are eating good food, they are dressing properly, they are living very nice lives. So they don't have any failure in material life, so it will be draw. And in the first case, if Krishna was there, spiritual world is there, and karma is there, the devotees will be victorious. And the materialists, they will go to hell, they are a failure. Isn't it? In the second case, if all the spiritual things that are spoken in the books are not true, still material devotee's life will be draw. You cannot call it failure because materially also they are happy. And in the case of materialists, even if you take it success. So he made a comparison. One is what success draw. Another one is and failure success. So he said out of the two this is better. And he chose the Hare Krishna. And then he went to the temple. He saw Srila Prabhupada sitting and giving a lecture. Prabhupada said, if you come to ISKCON, you will get good prasad, he said. And you will get good friendship. You will get good association. And he said, you will get good engagement for your activities. And he said, and you will get convincing philosophy for your intelligence. And Prabhupada said, if you want to get married, you will get a good wife also. You know. And he said, this is pretty complete. He thought, what more a person is looking for in life? So that day he decided, now I'll join now. Like that. So, our movement is a great challenge to even materialists because, you know, if religious movement is like a dry Mayavadi movement, the people having no engagement for their mind and senses, sitting in the Himalayas and performing some meditation, having no engagement for mind and senses, or even if they have a center or a temple, it's all hollow, they have no activity there. So then religion wouldn't be attractive. But the Bhakti Yoga is presented in such a powerful way in the scriptures as well as especially Prabhupada on a very practical level. It is so attractive and it can be a great threat and challenge to the materialistic civilization. Prabhupada presented it so colorfully. That's why Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tharane. So, he defeated impersonalism, he defeated voidism, he also defeated materialism without any compromise. So, one day, His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, he went to his college. He was a PhD student. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada wanted to use him like a spearhead of a nuclear bomb. He wanted to use him as a spearhead to bombard all the bogus theories in science because he was a scientist and a devotee. So he went to his college. One Nobel laureate had come to give a lecture on how all life in this world originates from only four things, he said. Carbon, nitrogen, oxygen and hydrogen. Only four things. So all the students are nodding the head and hearing everything. But our student, Bhakti Swarupa Damodar Maharaj, he was Dr. T.D. Singh. He stood up. He said, I have a question. Generally in such scientific classes, there are no question answers. They just give a lecture and go away. Only in temple Bhagavatam we have a question. So he had a question and the scientists were surprised. What question you have? Then he said, sir, if I give you these four chemicals, can you produce life? Nobody had asked him a question like that till date. When he heard it, he was shocked. He was like stammering and he said, no, that I cannot say, he said. So then all the students are looking at each other. You say that the four chemicals are the source of all life, but I am giving you those four chemicals, then why can't you produce life? Because what is the meaning of science? Science means first observation. Then you make a hypothesis. Then you make an experiment. Now you say that the first two steps are over. You made observation, you made a hypothesis. Now the experiment should be provable. You should be able to practically show. And if you say this is the source, I am giving you the things, why can't you produce? So when he challenged it, the scientist was completely flabbergasted. The Nobel laureate. So when he came back and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada was so happy. And the subsequent many lectures, Prabhupada quoted this example. He said, our student, T.D. Singh, he went to his college, he defeated a Nobel laureate. And then he challenged him, here are the chemicals, why didn't you produce life? And Prabhupada said, a chicken is a better scientist. Why? Because at least chicken is practical. Like that he puts an egg. But what kind of great soul are you? You cannot produce life. A chicken doesn't speak much, but produces life. Isn't it? But you speak big, big things, but you can't produce life with the same chemicals from which you claim the life is coming. So, Prabhupada was very fond of exposing and exploding illusion and all the bogus philosophies. When somebody came and asked about the Big Bang Theory, Prabhupada said, if there is a explosion even in your bus stand, you will naturally ask, who did the explosion? Are they Kashmiri terrorists? Are they LTTE? Which group has done it? Or who are the people? You will want to know. Even for a small bang, there is talk about who did it. And what to speak of a big bang? Big man means there must be a big brain to explode it. And if somebody says there is nobody behind the explosion, what kind of brain is that? Only brainless people can say there is no great brain. Similarly, for voidism also Prabhupada said, there is no void whatsoever anywhere in the universe except in the head of the voidists. He said. Prabhupada was never afraid to expose the materialism. See, who can write in a commentary in his book, factory is another name of hell? Because he's thoroughly honest. This is the meaning of a sadhu. He just doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't speak something to pamper the senses. He's just telling the truth. And it is a reality. Because you will find in the scriptures there is a term called as fruitive worker. Fruitive worker means a person in front of whom a fruit is dangled. Like you have seen, in front of the donkey, a man puts a stick with a carrot. Stick and the carrot. Actually, the stick and the carrot has a double meaning. One meaning is, you put a stick like this, tied to the neck of the donkey. So the donkey thinks there is a carrot. He tries to catch the carrot. As he goes, the carrot also keeps moving forward. Similarly, you dangle some better prospects for people. So that they keep on working harder and harder and harder. That's one meaning. So fruity worker means his eyes are fixed on the fruit. See, in mode of passion, gain is the only goal. I have to gain something. Yoga kshema means what? Yoga means what is in it for me? What can I gain out of this? What credit will I get? And kshema means fear that I should not lose what I have. To protect what I have. That is in tamaguna. One wants to preserve what I am having. So, the whole world is centered around this. How I can go on increasing my happiness and with no suffering, and I will make my life better by a plan made by my fertile brain, not by God. I will make a plan how to become happy. And I don't want to even hear what God wants to say. I know what, how to become happy. God is for poor fellows. God is not for me. Like that people think. You see, this kind of fruity workers engage in fruitive activities which are extremely painful to themselves and to all the people in the world. You see? So in one of the lectures, Prabhupada was saying, you see, everything is available in nature. There is enough food supply for all living beings, from a tiny amoeba or ant up to the biggest of the creatures like an elephant or whale or somebody. For everybody there is food arranged, there is water arranged, there is sunlight and air, everything necessary for one's sustenance. But all the supplies in nature are locked up. Obey God and accept the supplies. As soon as you obey, immediately the lock will be open and supplies will be given to you. Take it. But you disobey God and you will not get supplies. So, you will see, to the degree modern man is going away from God and trying to forget God or deny God, to that degree his sufferings are increasing. You can see that. It's increasing. Prabhupada is saying, the living entity is the son of the supermost millionaire. Who is supermost millionaire? Krishna. And he is having a bread problem. Just see. How can a millionaire son have a bread problem? Saying that we have economic problem, we have water scarcity, you know, we don't have light, we don't have heat, we don't have grains, we don't have food, there is famine, there is drought. Why? Why should a millionaire son be suffering without these basic necessities? That is only possible. Can any of you say how a millionaire son can become a beggar? Huh? Very simple. He has to go away from his father to some unknown place and hide from his father and not obey his father. Then he can become a nice beggar. But as long as he is with his father at home, living with his father, how can his father see him suffering? Isn't it? He'll provide everything he needs. He'll provide his food, clothing, shelter, everything. Along with that, love also. So much of love and care, everything he will provide. So, the living entity has become a beggar by his own independently enacted activities. They are called as self-created duties. Yeah. So, here Prabhupada gives a description of what is the meaning of the self-created duty. So, nowadays if you become a devotee, even if you start chanting, many people start asking you, hey, you have to do your duty. But what is my duty? Most parents in India, they think my duty means I have to make my son an engineer or a doctor and send him to America. That's my duty. And daughter means I have to get her married and settled in life. Then my duty is over. Even the people born in Brahmana families, there will be a secret smile on their face, proudly saying that my son is in Boston, daughter is in Houston, you know. You see that? Huh? You can see that. You ask them, you know, do you have children? Yeah, we have children. My son is here, daughter is there. This is their pride. Although they may be Brahmanas, they may be so-called Brahmanas. What is a Brahmana? Where is their intelligence fixed in? They are not anxious to see their children becoming Krishna conscious at all. But whether they are Krishna conscious or not, that is another thing. They will say, yeah, in America also there are temples, you will go to temple. But this is called as fruity mentality. Fruity mentality means you want to see them materially flourishing, and even if they are spiritually starving, you don't care. Polishing the material cage and allowing the bird to die. You see? And they think it is success. Yeah, they think we have... Many parents push their children to go to IITs and NITs. Push them. At last, push them to America. Finish now. Now duty is over now. That's all. This can happen even to devotee parents actually. Somebody may be... Some parents openly tell their children, whatever chanting you want to do, I will do for you. You study. You know, you can do after you cross 80 or 90, that time you can do. So, but what are they pushing their children into? If you carefully see, here Prabhupada is explaining. It is like a vicious cycle. First you get pushed into material education, and then as you complete your material education, then you complete your engineering, then you go into company. Now, in Prabhupada's times, when Prabhupada was writing this commentary and all, many iron and steel industries were opening in India. Iron and steel industries, chemical factories, they were opening on a large scale. Now, there are many IT companies opening in many of the cities. You know, big companies are taking, they are taking 100 acres, 200 acres and developing huge IT companies. But it is no different situation. It's all the same. Because in IT companies, they may not be physically working, but they are taking their mind and rinsing it like a cloth. You have washed dhoti? Like that they are rinsing their mind. Like Bhagavatam says, it's like taking an empty husk and beating, taking the mind and beating. That's why they get stressed. Why they get stress, tension and everything? Because they are twisting their mind, screwing their mind. And they are suffering physically and mentally. Factories means physical suffering. Now, sitting in computer all the time, radiation going into your head. And also breaking one's mind to write algorithms and everything. And some person doing, manipulating matter. It is, this kind of thing actually stresses the mind, strains the mind. Actually, it is unnecessary imposition upon the soul. Actually, the living entity is joyfully engaged in devotional service. Now, it's very unfortunate that he is trapped in a body. And he has to undergo this kind of suffering. Like I have seen, because I come from mechanical engineering background, we have been to many workshops. Like Smithy shop, you will find there are machines. Objects they'll be making, different kinds of dyes and, making objects. Many people lose their fingers, while doing it, and they put in the dye, four fingers are gone. Some people lose their hands, some people lose their leg, and sometimes they work in hot smithy, where there is red hot coal. You can go to the zone and see how people are sweating there. People used to work very hard. So, lifting big hammers and hitting, and some people wear plugs in the company because of tremendous noise. There is noise pollution. You go to your shop floor, how much people work hard? Although, in companies people work very hard, what for are they working if you carefully see? See, somebody is producing scooters, somebody is producing cars. Like one company announced, we are going to supply nano cars at 1 lakh rupees. And there are many competitors. They say, our goal of life is to see all Punavasis having their own car. Okay, it appears to be a nice goal of life. But the problem is there are 50 lakh people in Pune. If everybody has their own car, what will happen? Where is the road? No, we will make flyover. But how many flyovers will you make? You have seen how they make flyovers? How much hard work is involved in making flyover? For making one flyover, how many months and years they take? And then flyover also gets crowded. Then they make flyover. And then how high, how tall they are going to go? So imagine if there are 40 lakh cars in Pune, you cannot even inch while driving the traffic. So the nature of fruity mentality is one solution becomes a secondary problem, and the solution to that problem becomes a tertiary problem. In this way, the problems become more and more magnified, bringing enormous suffering to the living entity. So the masses are engaged in such kind of technological industries for the enjoyment of an elite few. Like for example, there is one man in America who has a big industry in America, but he says every weekend he, his wife and daughter, they go to London every weekend. America to London, they fly. What for? Because he plays cricket, his wife plays golf, his daughter has her friends. So the elite people in the top, for their enjoyment, there's a mass of people who are made to work very hard like this in industries. And if you very carefully observe, what are they producing? They are, one thing I told you, they are producing vehicles. Either two-wheelers or four-wheelers or aeroplanes or ships or anything like that building. Another thing is the furniture. Creation of furniture, creation of machines like washing machine and this kind of machine. So, the technology, Prabhupada writes about technology in one of the purports in the first canto. He says, happiness can only come from natural supplies. He says, King Yudhishthira Maharaj was a very intelligent king. So what he did, he knew that the nature is feminine. She is under the control of Krishna. She will not supply anything unless you surrender to Krishna. So he took refuge in the Supreme Lord and became his devotee. And then the nature gave her supplies. There are rains at appropriate times. And there are rivers flooding with water. The cows are filled with, the udders are filled with milk. The mountains are filled with gold, silver and diamond. The oceans are full of navaratnas. So like that it is described very beautifully. And then Prabhupada, after describing how the grains, in also Andal, she sings in one beautiful song, Andal Tiruppavai. This Tiruppavai, every one of the verses is so beautiful in that. I'll tell you one meaning of one of the verse. Ongi yula khalanda uttaman per padi நாங்கள் நம் பாவைக்கு சாற்று நீராடினால் தீங்கின்றி நாடெல்லாம் திங்கள் மும்மாறி பெய்து ஓங்கு பெரும் சென்னல் ஊடு கயலுகள. She sang in Braja, in Vrindavan. Ongi Ulahananda means that same personality, Sri Krishna, who came as a Vamana and who became Trivikrama, and he measured all the three worlds by his feet. So one should always propitiate him, glorify him with their hearts, with their words and their lives. And then she's saying, and that is why we are keeping a vrata now during this Margashish month. She's saying Margashish month is actually December month. And if one takes such vows, of course the gopis of Vrindavan are taking the Katyayani Vrata, in which they decide that we will not, you know, she's saying that we will not eat ghee, we will not eat any delicious foods. What are they eating? Only kichdi, that time. Neyunnom palunnom naatkale neeradi. They are saying, we will rise very early in the morning and we will take a bath. And we will not dress ourselves with nice decorations during this month because we are going to spend more time in chanting the holy names and singing Krishna's glories. We will give charity to the poor. We will give charity in Krishna's service. And we will never tell any lies and we will never blame anybody else for anything. And we will control our mind and senses. And we will constantly remember the son of Yashoda at every moment. Like this, we will spend our every moment during this month. And in this way, we will delight in our lives, they are saying. And if we do such a vrata, the result of this vrata will be what? They are saying, the paddy field, you know, is filled with tall plants in which there are reddish grains of rice and which are very stout grains and they are so tall they grow beyond your head also. They are saying such tall paddy fields grow and there is so much water in the fields. There is a fish called a skyle, you know, which is very delighted by those waters and it is going between those plants and delighting along with other fishes. So she is telling. And also the rains are showering at appropriate times and giving delight to the hearts of all farmers in Vrindavan. And when the rains come down, the grass, green grass grows very tall and the cows are eating the fresh green grass with great happiness. and they are all smiling with their udders filled with milk, which is oozing out and falling on the ground and making a milk kichad all over Vrindavan. They are saying, Vallal, Vallal Perum Pasukkal means what? The most, the biggest of the donors, cows, they are saying. The cows are called donors. Vallal Perum Pasukkal. Why they are called donors? Because they donate milk and they don't take any charge from you. The milk, of course, the milkman may charge you. But the cows, you see, Lord has created so many personalities in nature who are worshipable. Like the cow is one of the seven mothers. She gives milk without asking any remuneration. Mother gives milk to the child without asking any donation. The tree gives fruits, shelter, flowers, without asking anything in return. And that's why the shelter giving trees, the fruit bearing trees and the holy trees, they all should be worshipped. Rupa Goswami says in one of the 64 principles. That's the reason we worship, because they give without asking anything in return from us. So in this way, in Vrindavan, they are saying that if you simply remember Lord Govinda, then everything will flourish. They are saying, you don't have to do anything. Whatever you need, that much only will not come, much more will come. More than what you need. So much so that in Vrindavan, when the gopis want to play, they also hide from one another and take butter and throw at each other. Can you imagine? Can you see anybody throwing butter? Nowadays they only have dalda nowadays. If you really get butter and you throw at somebody, they will put it in their pocket. You throw butter on somebody, they will, butter? So they are living a life of prosperity. It's not that they are fasting, as I told you. There is a time for fasting. There is a time for feasting also. Then the gopis are, Andal is saying, when the time for feasting comes, when our ratha is over, we will make such a beautiful dhyonam. And also we will make this pongal, you know. We will make that with so much ghee, which is like transparent yellow ghee. We'll mix it with that. When we are eating, our ghee will be flowing like this, up to our this elbow. Like that we will eat, they are saying. So we will have a great feast. So it's a very beautiful song if you read the Rupavai. Very beautiful song. So Andal is saying that if you want prosperity, then you have to satisfy Krishna. Because Krishna has the key for all the supplies of nature. When you want the supplies of nature, don't go to nature. Don't try to steal from nature. It is like, for example, a boy, you know, who is telling his mother, Mama, open the bureau, I want some money. You know, she says, no, you have to ask the papa. You know, because you know, he has the key, you better ask him. No, I know he will not give me. Because, you know, I want to take some money and do gambling. And then she says, so better ask him. If he opens it, he can take it. But you know, sometimes the father leaves the key with the mother. But the boy knows, now you give me the key. He's snatching from her hands and she's saying, I will not give. So he's trying to snatch and he opens. Immediately she'll make a phone call to the father. See, this fellow snatched the key from my hand. He's opening the bureau. Father will come and give him a good beating. Is it not true? So modern day scientists are like the snatchers. They are trying to snatch from Krishna, snatch from material nature. Like you see, generally the civilization grows around rivers. Wherever there are rivers, in the sides you will find people living. You go to Bengal even today, in Bengal there are more rivers than roads, you will see. And most people travel by boats in Bengal, you will see that. And then there are also pukurs. Pukurs means the water bodies. Near the house, people wash their clothes, people take bath. So many pukurs even today you will find, you know. So, without water, nobody can live. You go to any household, when every day you have to take bath, you know, you need drinking water, you need to wash clothes, you need to wash the household. So much water you need. And naturally, if the civilization forms around the rivers, then, you know, morning you go and jump in the river, take a bath and come back. In fact, the children would never go to school till the age of 5 or 6 at least. Because up to the age of 5 or 6, they get so much love of the mother and father. And, you know, they don't wear any dress also. Just go to the river, take bath in the river, you know, play. And they grow very healthy. After that, they go to school after that. So, And when water is now, people are leaving such rivers, are polluting such rivers, and then coming to cities, and then you have to arrange a long pipe to send the water to the city, you see. And then another long sewage pipe to be sending all the stool and urine out of the city. You see, give me fresh water, take this stool. No? Like this they have to do. Yeah. You see? Yeah, big pipes. And that is why they need factories to make all these things. No? They need to make big cylindrical pipes and send all that. So, she is telling everything will flourish. And Prabhupada says, this is actually the formula if you want prosperity. What is prosperity? Actually, there are many definitions given in the scriptures. Prosperity means the cow should be smiling. And the cow's udder should be full of milk. That is one sign of prosperity. And another sign of prosperity means the five weaklings should be smiling. They should be happy. The brahmanas, the cows, the children, the women and the old people, they should be very comfortably situated. See, generally old people are not wanted by anybody. But in Vedic life, they are most respected. Because they have to be, their minds have to be kept without anxiety so that they can quit the body and go back home back to Godhead peacefully. Similarly, women should be protected, children should be protected. And Brahmana should be given chance to preach the scriptures. And they should be allowed to peacefully focus on taking shelter of the Lord without having to have anxiety for how will I get my food, how will I get my clothing. So, this is actually Vedic life. If you keep the society happy, the five weaklings happy, and you keep focus on pleasing the Supreme Lord, Hari, Krishna, Govinda, then everything will happen in society. Everything will come. Jayadutt Swami says, I go around the world, you know, people are throwing money at me, he says in one of his lectures. I glorify Krishna and people are throwing so much money at me. Although I am a sadhu, what do I need? I take some fruits in the morning. Little bit of fruits I take in the morning and little prasad palmful. My needs are not much. My needs are very little, but people want to give money. They are saying, take this money and please use it in Krishna's service. And Lakshmi comes running where Govinda is happy. Wherever Lord Govinda is, actually Lakshmi will be there at his lotus feet. Will come. So, actually prosperity also means utilizing all the resources supplied by the nature. Like you see, Vedic life means all people use this Navaratnas. They also use gold, silver and everything. You can see people wearing beautiful ornaments of gold and silver. Even in if you have seen your grandmother, and all they would wear nowadays, but it is becoming so scarce in the modern times. Where do you find gold and silver? You only find plastics. Roll gold you find. Roll gold, plastics. Nowadays they make a glass piece looking like a Kohinoor diamond. It's only a glass piece. Which looks similar to diamond. It's not diamond. Diamond is prosperity. You know, glass piece is useless. Similarly with everything. You know, I personally had a silver plate at home to eat. In our home we all had silver plates, one. In our grandfather's time, you know. Now people are eating in paper plates now. You see? Yeah. Like you know, I went to one center, they gave me a paper plate and they put hot upma in that. When I took the upma, paper also came along with that. So, I said, you made me a donkey, you know. I have to eat paper along with the upma, you see. Yeah. And nowadays what they are doing, new type of paper plate is coming in which they put green color leaf type. You have seen that? It is paper only, but they draw a leaf so that you can have some psychological satisfaction. Like I'm eating in a leaf. You see? How crazy. Isn't it? See, if you tell a modern man where is your prosperity, at least he wants to do a drama of prosperity. Isn't it? Yeah. You go to offices, they have wallpapers of forests. In a wallpaper, you go to a software company, all around they have wallpapers of colorful flowers and forests and mountainscapes and waterfalls. You can only see them in paper. That is only paper happiness. And their paper happiness is similar to their cardboard face and plastic smiles. Which is non-different from the so-called paper they are displaying there. It's very similar to that. So, this is cheating prosperity. This is not prosperity at all. Why modern man is not able to experience prosperity? Because he is not pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So Prabhupada says, if there is abundant water supply, if there is milk supply, if there are nice grains, if there are fruits, if there are Navaratnas, if there is gold and silver, and if all these supplies are there, then what is the need of cinema theatres, clubs, brothel, or slaughterhouses, or gambling casinos, and all kinds of clubs? What is the need? Prabhupada is asking in the first canto, you will read in one of the purports, which means these are all unnecessities. Unnecessities. You see? Like for example, as Prabhupada says in 7th canto, one purport, that the men work hard all day like this in the company, and then evening they come. They have little time left between, like, you know, 7:30 or 8 o'clock, they return back. So 8 to 10 or something, they have some time. In that time also, they go to clubs, where they smoke, they drink, they play some billiards, they play some, take a stick and put a ball into a hole. That is the goal of their life. Actually, there is one particular kind of dung roller. You know dung roller? This dung roller, you know, what he will do, his only goal of life is, anybody passes stool anywhere, he will say, now it's my, he will fold his sleeves and come, now it's my duty now. What is his duty? Go there, take little stool and roll it into a ball. And then move it to one corner. And then take little more stool and keep rotating it. This is his goal of life. Huh? Yeah, there is no other goal. Huh? How foolish it is. Huh? This is dung roller. Huh? Dung means stool. No? Yeah. Similarly, these people, they spend their valuable time in the evening when they come back, you know, just playing golf or playing billiards. And the other people, now another big thing is watching TV now. Yeah. Now, when Gopalakrishna Maharaj was giving initiation, he was telling about TV. And personally, he was meeting husband-wives in the room. TV hai tumhare ghar mein? Maharaj used to ask, do you have TV at home? Hai Maharaj, lekin hum dekhte nahi. Aisa kaisa ho sakta hai? Isn't it? Okay, you have a... No, are you going to have a TV at home and keep it in the kitchen to keep hing or something? How many people will have TV at home keeping some, you know, masala powder and everything in there? Huh? Of course, if the TV goes repair, you can do that. Huh? But if it is a working TV, how will you have TV at home and not? No, Maharaj, rarely we see. You see, for the child, sometimes child wants to see. Only news we see, nothing else. And then Maharaj looked at one devotee and said, surely you see only news, but I think sometimes you see serials. Yes, Maharaj, sometimes only. And that, how many times? He asked. You say, rarely, Maharaj. Rarely means how? Once in a day or once in 2 days. Is it rarely? Huh? You see? So, in this way you find people, this is another engagement for people in the evening now. And what are these serials showing? One man is already married to a woman, you know, and that man is looking at another woman. Most dangerous thing. Huh? Yeah. And that woman is already married to another man, and she is looking at this man. Huh? And then some problem starts. And then the serial goes this way, that way, it becomes complex, and this fellow takes a gun and shoots that fellow shoots this fellow. Huh? They see all kinds of things. And after taking the theory, then the practical will start. Huh? In their life. Huh? So crazy, huh? Yeah. See, the difference between reading Ramayana, Mahabharata and seeing this TV, all kinds of concocted movies, the Ramayana, Mahabharata will purify our intelligence. It will purify our mind. Whereas seeing these serials in TV, watching this, watching that, and people say, what can we do all day? Life is boring. We want a change. See, they will not want to open a book of Prabhupada and read. But they want some time pass. Because they don't want pastimes. Pastimes of the Lord, no interest. But they want time pass. Watch TV, read magazines and everything. Polluting their brains, which is already polluted. quite good enough. So, Prabhupada condemns such people in the 7th canto, one of the purports. He says, they already have so much trouble and they are increasing that trouble. Mudha, he says. But I am telling these things because devotees should not follow the path of materialists. Devotees should stand apart and live a life of purity. That is why in Vedic life, if you see, the temple is the center for everybody. Be Devi, be they brahmacharis, be they congregation, be they young, be they old, children. Because I come from South India, from a certain place, where we had a Vishnu temple. You know, morning, evening, big crowd will be there in the temple. Because Lord Vishnu is the center. Everybody comes there. There is, you know, people would sit in two rows, just like you take Balaji Darshan. And one side will recite one verse. Vishwam Vishnurva Shatkaro Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu. One verse. Then that for the other group will recite. Bhuta Grat Bhuta Vidbhava Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavanaha. Then these people. Bhutatma Paramatma Muktanam Paramagathi Avyaya Purusha Sakshi Kshetra Gnyokshare. Like that. There's no possibility of sleeping. Because you know, after they finish one line, you have to recite. After you recite, then they will recite. So it will be so interesting. Sitting opposite each other, two groups. And needless to say, when there will be this Margashish month, which is December month, there will be 10 vahanas. Haya vahan, like horse vahana. There is swan. There is Hanumanta vahan. There is Garuda vahan. Pakshi vahan, you know. Different vahanas, they would carry the Lord. Practically out of 365 days, we used to have 250 festivals in a year. Where is the time? Now people may say, how did people run their household chores? You know, if 250 festivals you have in a year, temple all the time, we have to separate our material life also, because they had no material life. Material life was spiritual life only. Because everything was centered on the temple. If a mother had a daughter she wanted to marry, she goes to temple, you know, she talks to another Mataji, immediately marriage will be arranged. One boy and girl. Because their material life was so much interspersed with spiritual life. And people also see, if a mother, daughter, father, they're coming to temple, everybody is seeing this girl is doing so much service. Another mother having son will come and ask this lady, you know, what is your girl's age, and then marriage will happen very easily. Everything was happening like that. And if somebody's child was suffering, everybody will go and help actually. All the other grihasthas, nobody felt it is their child, we don't have to worry. If somebody's child is sick, you know, 10 people will come. What happened? Because everybody, the temple was a center. And they very strongly identified with the pujaris. I remember, there was even now the pujari is there in the same temple. I go to meet him whenever I go. You know, he would make, what do you call it? Mala for Hanuman with vadas. You know, vada mala they call it. So people would go and give him all the ingredients for making vada. You know, the urad and all they give, no? Urad and everything. So this fellow will take it home, his wife would make the vada, and they would make the vada, and in the holes they will make a garland, and put it to the Lord, and then after offering, he will give it back to the family, you know, and then they would distribute to other people. And this man was very happy in doing that service, can you imagine? And I asked this man, what do you get out of this? My only happiness I get is that I could serve the Lord. So he doesn't even calculate, you know, what profit will I get from this vada business. I mean, not vada business, I mean putting vada for Hanuman. So this man was so simple. Now recently I went to my native place, I saw the temple is beautifully built, colorful now. Big gopuram has come, you know, walls on all the four sides. I asked, who gave you money? He said, I don't know, you know, Lord Vishnu, you know, he himself arranged this wonderful thing, came up, many people came forward to make this temple. And now it's a flourishing temple now. All the Andal Tirupavi is written on the walls now. All people are coming and reciting. So, and he was like a father. Not only him, he and other pujaris who were there, people would go to temple and hear kathas. The family was so much interspersed with the temple. People felt the Lord is the, you know, person. For anything they want to do, they would write the Lord's name at the top. Just like people put oo in India, no? Like Ganesh or Omkar they put. Like that people would write Krishna's names, and then only they will start anything they do. Any work they wanted, they will immediately go to the temple and offer obeisance to the Lord and pray to Him. I'm going to start something new. Or somebody is going to start some business. Because the Lord was very prominent in their lives. Not that, you know, Lord is somewhere and I am somewhere else. Sometimes, as ISKCON grew in different parts of the world, sometimes the temple and the congregation, they considered themselves to be two different entities. Because of which the congregation may sometimes feel that we have a different identity. And they had enmity with the temple sometimes, because there was no proper treatment for the congregation from the temples. Because of which they could not take advantage of the divine shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, which actually comes in the form of Mangalarti, Bhagavatam class, and devotees coming together and rendering services for the pleasure of the deities. Actually, these are very easy ways to make our lives very happy. You try to leave the Lord's shelter and try to set right your material life, it will become very complicated. Far more complicated than it was before. And you will wonder, my Lord, how it became so complex. And you hold on to Lord's lotus feet and try to do your best, then Lord will immediately arrange to set right your material life. Very easily. So, this secret, Prabhupada explains again and again in Bhagavatam purports. Yasmin tushtam, jagat tushtam. That's why the kings knew that by my kshatriya prowess I cannot control the people. It is difficult to control people. Everybody has their ego. And everybody has their whimsical mind. And everybody has their big, big ego. Actually, we cannot control our own ego. How can we control other people's ego? Imagine if 1,000 people come with their big egos, controllers, you cannot control them. But if one surrenders to Lord, then Lord knows how to purify their egos, purify their mind, and purify their intelligence and senses. And then they will all become submissive. So King Chitraketu was told by Angira Muni that if your subordinates are not cooperative, if they are not submitting themselves to you, what you should do? You better control your own mind and senses by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Then everybody will surrender. That is the method of getting surrender. Because we don't want their surrender to ourselves. We want them to surrender to the Supreme Lord. So because actually one doesn't consider oneself to be the center. One considers Krishna to be the center. So in this way the kings knew, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, he worshipped Krishna so dearly. His whole kingdom was so happy. Happy and prosperous. And modern day situation, no prosperity. Prabhupada asked, can you eat nuts and bolts? They are making in millions now. Millions of nuts and bolts are being produced, but who can eat them? Now, see from the Vedic point of view, the living entity is running here and there in the name of creating huge factories, sending out chemical effluents into the rivers, sending out, polluted gases into the atmosphere, and also living a complex life in the cities, inch by inch moving in the car, and living in skyscraper, building skyscraper means huge. Sometimes you find 50 floors, 80 floors building, tall building, bringing all the things from the villages into the highly densely populated city and congested with no greenery, no fresh air, no fresh water, and no proper food, and all packaged items with preservatives and other things. And living entities are torturing themselves and torturing one another, increasing their problems like anything. So what is the reason for this? This is because of taking one's attention from pleasing God. When one does not please Krishna, one takes his attention away, then one takes control of the world in his own hands. Then I will find out how to become happy on my own. And everyone suffers. So, then you may ask, one time a man asked an intelligent question. Okay, now let us agree that we close down all these industries. Okay, we agree. No computer companies, no technological companies, we close down everything. Then what do you want us to sit at home and keep quiet? Then what are we supposed to do? That's a very important question. Actually, Prabhupada says the animals' economic necessities are fulfilled with great endeavor. Sometimes you find the animals, they bite one another to get some food. They bark at one another like dogs and monkeys and all. But as far as a human being is concerned, Prabhupada says he should not have any problem. He can get his food and clothing, shelter very easily, even if he does a little endeavor also. That little endeavor means not more than 6-8 hours a day. 8 hours if one works, if one is a family man, with 8 hours of work, Prabhupada says he can coolly and easily earn out what he needs to maintain his family. In fact, he should know how to spend within what he earns and never take loans. Because this is what Krishna has given me according to my karma. And within that I have to live my life. And over and above that, what I should do, Prabhupada says, sit down and inquire about Krishna. That Prabhupada says, that is your duty. If you do that, you will find your economic needs also will reduce. Like one of the boys coming to our program, you know, he comes from a very stinking rich family. So he was, his father came in those days to PICT, BVP. So his father came and arranged for a flat for him. You know, he gave him a car, he gave him a flat in rent, you know, and went back. So this fellow was living like, you know, affluent life. For the flat, he was spending some 4,000-5,000 rupees and was maintaining a car. He used to go to movie, party and everything. Practically his monthly expenditure was like 10,000 rupees, you know. Yeah. And then he would write to his father, Papa, send me 5,000 more. But when he became a devotee, you know, he started living with other devotees. So his monthly expenditure dropped down to 2,000 rupees. And his father was shocked. What happened, my son? You know, is somebody else maintaining you? Besides me. He said, yes, Krishna is maintaining now. You know. So then he told the father, I am living with other group of boys. There are 8 more boys living with me. But why should you live with others? I have given you a separate flat. He said, I am feeling so lonely in a separate flat. I am so happy with other boys. They are all devotees. And I take only prasad. I was living a very happy life with everybody else. So our economic necessities also goes down. And Prabhupada says in one lecture, in this way, if you want to save money, become Krishna conscious. You know? Yeah. Actually, generally our money, you ask any family, the expenditures are such that it appears that, you know, the more you have, the more you want. You know, it always appears. As if, you know, just like you have a basket, you pour water in a basket, all water goes down. Like that the money gets spent. How it gets spent is very amazing. And then you feel, I need more, I want more. But when we become Krishna conscious, Krishna in our heart gives us satisfaction. When that satisfaction comes, tripti is the rarest thing. If one can get that tripti, atma tripti one gets, then we will depend less on material commodities and more on spiritual life, which is actually Krishna. Dependence on Krishna increases, then dependence on material commodities reduces. In this way, we will be able to live without artificial necessities. Like Prabhupada is saying, the artificial products of the modern day world, they sap our spiritual enthusiasm, he says. For example, so many different type of model cars. And people are comparing, look at that fellow, he's going in Santro. Hey, look at this fellow, he's going Innova. Look at this fellow, he's going in Mercedes-Benz. People compare whose car is bigger, whose car is, beautiful, which is better model. So, they are coming up with better and better and better models of cars and people are also trying to go for bigger and bigger cars and better cars. If they see the car of another person, say, hey, that guy is having that car, you are having smaller car, get a bigger one. Then he has to work hard and earn more money, you see. That is why wives have to be Krishna conscious also. You see, if husband and wife both are Krishna conscious, they can peacefully live their lives. But Prabhupada says this Kali Yuga, it's age of, he says, lipstick and motor cars and bungalows. This is all highlighted. You go to outside world, you see the billboards are all carrying, these are the advertisements, you know. Buy some bungalows, and buy cars, buy this, buy that. So, this is actually condemned by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that beautiful song, you know. He says that, what does he say? Michenidavashe gelore rati divasa sharira sahaje. It's actually Bhagavatam message. Bhagavatam says that tattva jignyasa is the only goal of life of a human being. There is no other goal. But you are also allowed to marry, have children, have family, have a house. If you need a car, there is no problem, have a car. You know, you can have all the needs of your life fulfilled so that you can do tattva jignyasa. That is the goal. So our body is compared to a car, and the goal of life is the destination where we want to go, which is spiritual world. So you can put water in the radiator, you can put petrol, you can use a hose pipe to clean the car. You are not told you should not do these things. But you should not become attached to the car in such a way that you forget to, you know, achieve the goal. That's what modern people are doing. They have become so attached to the bodies, they have forgotten the goals. You know, pampering the body so much. Technological development means pampering the body and whimsical mind. That is technology. See, there is a verse from Vishnu Purana. I got it from Sri Kesha Prabhu. Here it is said, beautiful verse, all of you repeat this. Tat karma yanna bandhaya sa vidya yavi muktaye ayasaya parama karma vida vidaya vidyanya shilpanai punam. He says tat karma yat na bandhaya, we should do that work which will not bind us, and sa vidya ya vimuktaye, we should educate ourselves with Krishna consciousness which will liberate us. Actually all of us, we have some time Krishna has given us while we are situated in the body. That time should be utilized for cultivating that type of philosophical education which will liberate us from this body and we can go back to Godhead. That education is the best education. Raja Vidya. Ayasaya Parama Karma. What is that Ayasaya Parama Karma? What is that, Sikishabhu? Laborious work. It is simply a laborious work, a material work, which is useless, which binds us. Vidyanya Shalpanaipunam. Shalpanaipunam means technology. Vidya Anya Shalpanaipunam. If you don't cultivate Raja Vidya, then we will cultivate Shilpa Vidya, which is technology. So this is said in Vishnu Purana. Can you imagine? Vishnu Purana has predicted the technological developments of Kali Yuga already. If you don't do Raja Vidya, then you will go for the so-called material progress, which is simply an illusion. It can never make anyone happy. Actually, people know internally that these things don't make us happy. But externally, they want to impress others. Some people are in that situation. There are others who are still blinded by the glittering illusion of technological development. So, answering that question which I told you, if you stop all technological development, if you stop all software industries, what will happen to the world? Are we all the time, you know, supposed to be chanting Hare Rama Hare Krishna all the time? People may ask like that. Actually, for that, there is a solution. The solution is this, given in the scriptures. The duty of the king is to divide the whole society into Varna Ashrama. Varna Ashrama is the solution. That Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, which means some population should join army naturally and they should become Kshatriyas to give protection to our nation. Because India is a holy land and we have such a beautiful civilization in India, and we have been under the Mughal rule and British rule for quite some time, due to which they destroyed so much opulence of India. So we surely need protection. So one class, let them become Kshatriyas. Then there are Vaishyas who will take care of the cows. So many cows are being slaughtered nowadays. So they should protect the cows and they should produce the grains, the fruits, the cereals. And in barter system they exchange with others. So they do trading and farming and cow protection. Then there are Shudras, the laborers. They support all the other three. So Brahmana has to do yajna, Shudra will carry the firewood for him. If a Kshatriya wants some people in the army, he may recruit Shudras also and pay them some food, clothing, shelter, necessities and all. Or if a Vaishya wants assistance, then Shudra may join him. It serves other three classes. And then the Brahmanas, they are supposed to give vision to society. For that they have to study Shastra. The vision comes from the Shastras and Sadhus. And what vision they will give? They will give a spiritual vision by which society can be materially happy now and spiritually happy forever. So, as I was telling you, the temple should be the center of the whole society. The Lord in the temple should be glorified with all cultural activities. For example, I went to this Wada farm. In front of the Lord, they have made a beautiful, huge flower type, you know. It's all made up of sticks from the village, you know, like bamboo, thin bamboo sticks. Beautiful flower type they have made. So all arts and crafts and culture and science and philosophy, everything should be used for glorifying the Lord. And there can be cottage industries which are all using natural ingredients. For example, anything you need. Actually, Gandhi was doing something in this direction which Prabhupada appreciated. Like the khadi clothes made of charka, people can do at their own homes. They don't have to depend on the synthetic milk cloth which actually hurts the body actually. And we don't need synthetic paints on the walls which is very bad for the eyes. There are natural paints which are made from plants, herbs, herbal paints, yeah. We have like that. So, the field of arts and crafts and such kind of vocational training is gradually getting lost. If that is revived, somebody likes painting, they can become painters. Somebody likes arts and crafts, they can do that. Somebody makes cloth and then barter system they exchange. Basically what we are living in it is we have left spiritual world and come here. So here most important thing you need first is food. So instead of growing tobacco in the fields and making big cigarette industries and liquor shops, this should be completely abandoned. Instead they should grow grains, so there will be no scarcity of food. Everybody gets enough grains. And if people have enough grains to eat, they will eat and they will have stout and strong bodies. You know, by which they should not commit sinful activities, rather they should use it in the service of the Lord. Like I have seen in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya in South India, stout men, you know, powerful, bull-like body, they would be carrying the palanquin of the Lord on the shoulder, they would be walking, you know, carrying. Yeah, that is how they have to use their bodies in Lord's service. And they would be cooking huge quantities of prasad and distributing to everybody. And they had so many different colors, you will see they have different type of dances. I have seen Harishchandra drama whole night awake. Ramayana also, whole night it will be going on. There will be thousands of people watching. So people can use their culture of drama. Similarly, they used to have Bharatanatyam Arangetram. Sometimes 4 hours, 5 hours program they would have. So the singers would sing whole night sometimes during festivals. So in this way, the singing, the dance, the culture, and all one's ability should be utilized. And the beauty is, everybody is dovetailing their talent in Lord's service. They are satisfied that I could do something for the Lord, and everybody else benefits also. But the modern day society is not Krishna centered. It is centered around the atheistic economic lords who are bringing up these big industries, and everybody is taking their names only. If you see, people are talking about, you know, Kirloskar or Tata or Bill Gates. People are talking about these people. Who is talking of God? You see? Because these people have become pivots of the whole world. Anil Ambani. People are talking about them. There is no remembrance of the Lord. And also these industries, although people are talking their names, they don't benefit at all. They torture themselves and torture others also. So, it's not that the Vedic life means you have to chant 24 hours a day. So with one point I want to conclude. This is from Bhagavatam, 11th canto. This is a very powerful point is mentioned here. This is 11.11.22. Here Krishna is telling to Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, if you are not able to free your mind from all material disturbance and thus absorb it completely on the spiritual platform, then perform all your activities as an offering to me without trying to enjoy the fruits. Understand, no? See, the highest standard is remembering Krishna 24 hours, which we cannot do very easily. Instead, what you can do? You do activities, but you offer the fruits to Krishna and don't accept the fruits. And in this purport, he says a great secret. He's saying, if one offers one's activities to Lord Krishna without trying to enjoy the results, one's mind becomes purified. You see? For example, if Mataji is doing a garland and offering to Radha Kunjabihari, she doesn't want the credit for making that garland, her mind becomes purified. Similarly, Brahmachari or a Grahastha, they are doing offering of worship to Balaji or Kunjabihari. They do it simply out of sense of sincerity and duty to Guru and Krishna without expecting any result. Immediately their mind becomes purified. Some donor comes, he gives for constructing a new temple, gives some money, and he says, I simply want to see this beautiful temple coming up. Then his mind becomes purified. So that means we have to offer a service without desiring to enjoy the results. And the result is one's mind becomes purified. When the mind is purified, transcendental knowledge automatically manifests, he says. Since such knowledge is a byproduct of pure consciousness, which means this is something automatic. See, you purify the consciousness, zoom, like the knowledge comes out from that. That means, what is the cause of transcendental knowledge? Pure consciousness. Because in pure, you may wonder, automatic means how? Automatic means super soul will supply. Jitatmana prashantatma paramatma samahita, he says. As soon as you cleanse the mind, then immediately, mind focuses on super soul and super soul will supply transcendental knowledge. When the mind is absorbed in perfect knowledge, it can be raised to the spiritual platform. Like that he is giving step by step, very beautifully. Through intense concentration on one's relationship with the personality of Godhead, one comes to the highest standard of knowledge and becomes an intimate associate of the Lord. One may not be able to fix one's mind completely on the spiritual platform. At that point, one should realistically assess one's position, noting the lingering material contamination within mind. Like for example, if I am seeing that I am not able to chant 64 rounds a day. Difficult. Because there is some material tendencies lingering, contamination lingering in my mind. Then what I should do? One should intensify one's practical devotional work in the service of the Lord. If one artificially considers oneself to be supremely liberated, or if one becomes casual on the path of spiritual advancement, there is serious danger of fall down. Something is falling down there. Which means, see, there are two levels. You understand this point? Like, for example, some people can keep themselves on a transcendental platform for a long time. Like, somebody can hear a 6-hour lecture. And at the end of the lecture, they will start dancing happily. And another person, at the end of a 6-hour lecture, he runs to the ashram and he flat on the ground. As if somebody has defeated him. Some people experience this after chanting 2 hours also. After chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Knocked off, you know. Because we are seeing holy name from a material point of view. So we don't have that purity to relish the holy name. Then what he says you can do? Then, okay, you are not able to, stay on this platform. Come down to a platform where you can do lot of work for Krishna, he says. And not only that, what you should do? After doing the work, offer the fruits to Krishna without desiring anything. Then the mind becomes purified. And as it becomes purified, then you go little higher. Because purification of the mind elevates us. Then again do some more practical work and elevate. Some more practical work, elevate. And then you come to a stage where you can relish the katha, relish the holy name, you will have complete absorption. Then it is immaterial whether you are doing work or you are chanting. Everything is same. So that is called samadhi. Samadhi is not, you know, sitting idle. Samadhi means with a purified mind, one is constantly remembering the Lord in the heart and doing some service to Krishna. It's very beautiful. I like this. So, instead of this fruitive work that is being spoken in this verse, one should replace the fruitive work with devotional work, which will purify our heart and help us, you know, focus our attention on Krishna nicely. And he also says, if somebody has not done enough devotional work in the Purva Janams, in this life, he says, it will be very difficult for them to hold their mind on the beautiful personality of Godhead. Their mind may become speculative or impersonal or engage in materialistic work. So better that one engage in devotional work and offer the fruits to Krishna. You understand, no? Some boys, they try to chant, they cannot chant, so they give up chanting and go back to material work. Instead, what one should do? One should do devotional work and offer the fruits to Krishna. That's the alternative given for this materialistic civilization. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki. Thank you very much.